Living in a land. It would be in vain to deny that negation appears on the original basis of a relation of man to the world. The world does not disclose its non-beings to one who has not first posited them as possibilities. Jean-Paul Sartre, Being and Nothingness. I've never had to change a tire. I've never had to change a tire on a car or a washer on a tap. I've never had to get the soldering iron out. I've never had to get the soldering iron out and make running repairs on a circuit board or some other electrical component. I've never had to trim the wick on a candle, or go downstairs to locate the fuse box with a torch when the lights trip. I've never confronted a dangerous animal. I've never taken a wrong turn. I've never taken the wrong exit off the autobahn, headed north towards Hanover when I'm supposed to be going east to Berlin. I've never felt despair. I've never felt misery. I've never felt terror or what others call joy. I've never been south of the equator. I've never been a fan of brown rice. I've never taken a phone call from an uncle I hardly know, just as we're about to sit down for dinner or our favourite TV programme. I've never stinted on the garlic, or gone too far with the nutmeg, or apeshit when things haven't worked out. I've never had to shin over a fence to get my ball back. I've never had to argue with the landlord to get my deposit back. I've never had to drive out to the airport to get my luggage back. I've never been handed a broken toy, by a child and just had to do the best I can with it. I've never had to have a tooth out. I've never put my name down for the karaoke. I've never dieted or bulked up. I've never gone over to France, to get beer from a hypermarket, then boasted about how cheap it is to my mates at my barbecue the following weekend. I've never had to vacate my flat suddenly because of a gas leak. I've never returned a book in such poor condition I was asked to buy a replacement, or bought a replacement without having to be asked, only for the book's owner to demand the original copy. I've never had to appeal to the judge for clemency, or been rounded upon by a critically acclaimed comic as I get up to go to the gents halfway through his act. I've never gone to the place where my car was and it wasn't there. I've never gone to the place where my wife was and she wasn't there. I've never walked into our flat to find her stuff gone, a letter on the table, or back to the street where our flat was to find a massive sinkhole, firemen, paramedics, reporters doing their pieces to camera, neighbours standing around in their dressing gowns and nightshirts. I've never had a pen pal. I've never had a mentor. I've never been chaperoned by a governess, monitored by scientists, trailed by a private detective, or shepherded towards the corner flag by a pugnacious fullback during my debut as a promising young striker for a non-league football team. I've never gone to ground. I've never gone to ground or come out of hiding, nor yet concealed myself in plain sight. I've never coordinated my outfit with the style of the day. I've never gone back to my childhood. I've never gone back to my childhood home. I've never gone back to my childhood home and found it to be emotionally sterile, recognised the nostalgia game for the self-deception it is, come to the conclusion that we live in time, not place, I've never had to reach for the hammer or the cordless, or do the best I can with the heaviest object to hand and the nearest thing I can find to a nail. I've never gone outward bound. I've never given anyone sage advice. I've never given anyone a piece of my mind. I've never given anyone a blowjob. I've never, to adopt an archaism, been pleased to make anyone's acquaintance. I've never, to deploy an Americanism, threatened to tear anyone a new asshole. I've never, in contemporary parlance, referenced anything. I've never, how can I put this, stinted on the garlic. I've never, what's the phrase, gone overboard with a nutmeg. I've never had mumps. I've never had measles. I've never had chicken pox. I've never had syphilis or Cointreau. I've never been to Glyndebourne. I've never been to Sadler's Wells. I've never been to Hay-on-Wye. I've never been to the Eisteddfod. I've never been to Lovebox. I've never been to the Big Chill. I've never been to WOMAD, Bestival, or Meltdown. I said, I've never been to Meltdown. I've never relented. I've never not seen it through. I've never taken my hands away till the legs stop kicking and the whole body is still. I've never waxed. I've never waned. I've never exfoliated or deep pore cleansed, put salt in my tea instead of sugar, sugar on my chips instead of salt. Ask me whether I've ever given anyone a blowjob. Ask me whether I've ever gone on a diet, fobbed my mates off with cheap beer at my barbecue, visited my childhood home, cheated at cards, complained to my MP, or put up scaffolding outside my house. Ask me whether I've ever put up scaffolding outside my house and taken it down again, throwing the clips onto a flatbed lorry while doing a vocal harmony of Stand By Me with my workmates. Ask me if I've ever been to Cream or the Ministry. I've never been to Cream. I've never been to the Ministry. Ask me if I've ever been to the House of Commons, gone up Big Ben, taken the tour. I've never been to the House of Commons. I've never gone up Big Ben. I've never taken the tour. I've never stood where the Prime Minister stands or sat in the Speaker's chair, picturing the back benches, up in arms, up in arms, up in arms. I've never woken up and thought to myself, now hang on a minute. I've never woken up and thought to myself, today, yes, maybe today. I've never woken up and thought to myself, that wasn't there before. I've never run clockwise round the village instead of counterclockwise. I've never yodeled, shown my private parts to a doctor, or had to blow into a breathalyzer and keep going till the officer says stop. I've never done anyone any harm. I've never done anyone any harm who didn't deserve it, or been rubbed up the wrong way myself when I wasn't asking for it. I've never counted to more than 100. I've never eaten anything I didn't like the look of. I've never put diesel in instead of petrol, or petrol instead of diesel. I've never driven an automatic or completed an entire circuit of the M25. I've never jumped the lights, or driven the wrong way up a one-way street. I've never reversed the wrong way up a one-way street to get the only parking spot in the busy market town. I've never caned my escort something wicked along the bypass, written off my Cortina on the bridleway, or leant out the window of my Fiesta and gone, all right, girls, how's it going? As I've driven past the school gate. I no longer slow down. I no longer slow down at zebra crossings in my vehicle, or expect others to do so when it is I who am waiting to cross. I no longer display the cultural and political insight I was wont to display, the analytical acumen of times gone by. I no longer enjoy exposing pseudo-intellectuals. I no longer enjoy exposing pseudo-intellectuals only to have my exposure of those pseudo-intellectuals itself exposed as a piece of pseudo-intellectualism. I no longer enjoy exposing myself in that fashion. I no longer enjoy exposing myself. I no longer enjoy exposing myself to strangers in my Frank Sinatra mask in the woods. I no longer do it my way. I no longer dodge cracks in the pavement or thrill to the sight of certain birds, raptors, plovers, endangered warblers and what have you. They no longer set my heart aflutter. I no longer fantasize about saving the life of Roland Barthes. I no longer dream of interposing myself between Roland Barthes and the approaching laundry truck, so that Bart might live to witness the advent of the digital epoch and write the follow-up to Camera Lucida. I no longer fantasize about getting into an argument with Slavoj Žižek. I no longer fantasize about getting into an argument with Slavoj Žižek in the queue at Pret, Žižek having stated that the excessive politeness of the mainly non-English staff is a symptom of Britain's post-colonial melancholia, and I have encountered that it's just an instance of post-Fordist virtuosity in the sense used by Paolo Verno in his writings on the precariat. I no longer fantasize about asking Jacques Rancière a tough question at a conference. I no longer fantasize about asking Rancière a question that really gets under his skin, makes him visibly uncomfortable, requires an extensive clarification of his terms. By which clarification, by which Socratic inquisition, I managed to create the impression of hoisting Jacques Rancière on his own petard, even though, if you were to look at the transcript of our exchange, it would transpire that I had offered nothing more than a succession of glib syllogisms with which Jacques Rancière was forced to hurriedly agree, for reasons of tight scheduling. I no longer need to have golf balls sewn into my pyjamas. I no longer need to have golf balls sewn into my pyjamas or a special mask strapped to my face. I no longer need to have a special mask strapped to my face or dairy products taken out of my diet. I no longer need to have dairy products taken out of my diet, nasal strips attached to my nose, mandibular devices fitted to my lower jaw, all to prevent my snoring. I no longer have to play the didgeridoo to strengthen my palate, practice my throat exercises for 30 minutes every day, or rehydrate myself every 2 hours during the night. I no longer have to go to the sleep clinic. I said, I no longer have to go to the sleep clinic in Zurich, or ask myself on the bus back to the airport whether I shall perhaps visit Switzerland again one day in later life when the time comes, or whether new legislation will ever be passed in my own country, whether Parliament will ever come out in favour of assisted dying. I no longer dream the dreams I once dreamed. I said, I no longer dream the dreams I once dreamed. The sagas featuring everyone I've ever met, dreams in which everyone is naked but me, in which we are all awaiting some unspecified cosmic event, and which confer on me a sort of L. Ron Hubbard status, dreams now, alas, supplanted by blackness and the barking of stray dogs. I no longer expect there to come as I dangle over the abyss. I no longer expect there to come, as I once did, a posse of angels to catch me as my arch-enemy cuts the rope that I was climbing. I no longer expect that. I no longer expect my maker, as I must call him. I no longer expect my maker, as he is known, to be quite so sanguine, quite so benevolent about my spiritual laxity, or for the various festivals inaugurated in his name to provide the tonic they once did. I no longer expect them to provide the relief, the gaiety they were wont to provide. I've never really stood up for myself. I've never really stood up for myself in the workplace. I've never really been as bold in the workplace as I am in other areas of life. I've never really given as good as I get. I've never confronted Greenford over his insinuations, rounded on Meanwell for his contempt, or answered Mr. Burridge back when he is short with me. I've never really been anything but passive with Greenford, meek with Meanwell, putty in Burridge's hands. Like I say, I've never really stood up for myself in the workplace. I've never considered licensed minicabs a foolproof way of getting around, a foolproof way of traversing large cities at night. I've never mooned about in the background as a regional news reporter delivers her piece to camera. I've never had Cinzano. I've never had Curacao. I've never had Malibu and Coke. When Kafka and I go to the Indian, I have the Jalfrezi and Kafka has the korma. When Kafka and I go to the chippy, I'll have medium haddock and Kafka has cod roe. When Kafka and I go to the Vietnamese, I have the crispy squid in purple basil sauce, followed by the beef noodle soup, and Kafka, he'll just pick at a bit of spring roll. When Kafka and I go to Wetherspoons, Kafka lights up, comes alive, wants to join in. When Kafka and I go to Starbucks, Kafka won't tell them his real name, but they write K on his cup anyway, because they know that it is he, Kafka. When Kafka and I go to Ladbrokes, they have a special booth that Kafka goes into, with his own copies of Racing Post, monogrammed betting slips, coffee-making facilities. In this way, Kafka is fleeced. Kafka is taken for all his worth. I've never been sea fishing. I've never been rock climbing. I've never gone up Snowdon or Ben Nevis. I've never completed the Trans-Pennine Way or the Northumberland Coastal Path. When Hemingway and I drive out to a pub in rural Essex, I am shocked by the amount of racism I encounter, but Hemingway thinks nothing of it. When Hemingway and I go into the Dundee Arms before the boxing at York Hall in Bethnal Green, everyone nods at Hemingway, and I wonder how it is that Hemingway is equally admired by men of action and men of letters, by hipsters in roll necks and bold men in white shirts. How it is that Hemingway can be so versatile. When Hemingway and I go into the British Library, Hemingway ogles the female authors in rare books. "Who's that over there?" Hemingway will go, and you'll have to tell him that that's Deborah Levy. That's Zadie Smith. She's taken. And Hemingway, what he'll do is, he'll have a bit of lunch in the canteen, then wander off into King's Cross to seek adventures elsewhere. I am not convinced that the scansion of Anglican hymns is all that it could be. I am not convinced there isn't work for a Burt Bacharach or a Neil Sedaka to do here. I am not convinced that the song about the old lady, the song about the old lady who swallowed a fly, couldn't benefit from the insertion of more of God's creatures. I am happy with the basic idea of a senior citizen consuming increasingly large animals, but I am not convinced that the progression of bestial magnitude from fly through to horse is as smooth as the author intended, that the song in its current form is quite the finished article. I am not convinced posterity hasn't been duped here. I am not convinced we should ever stop trying to finesse nursery rhymes, rework proverbs into tighter versions of themselves. I don't see why everything shouldn't aspire to haiku-esque compression, why we shouldn't find some way of eliminating the bird from the bush, the milk from the spillage, or the horse from the stable. I am not convinced, were Burt Bacharach or Neil Sedaka to go to work on Our Holy Jesus, How Hast Thou Offended, they wouldn't find major problems, not just with the lyrical scansion, but with the basic arrangement. I am not convinced, should they accept the commission from the General Synod, that they wouldn't take one look at the hymn book and see that the task is much harder than they thought. I am not convinced that Bacharach wouldn't suck air in through his teeth like a plumber on call-out, or that Neil Sedaka wouldn't shake his head dolefully and inform you that the scansion doesn't even conform to British standards, that now he can see why Holland Dozier Holland turned down the job in the first place. I am not convinced that Paul McCartney doesn't feel humbled by Susie and the Banshees' version of Dear Prudence. I said, I am not convinced that Paul McCartney doesn't feel humbled by Susie and the Banshees' version of Dear Prudence. I am not convinced that he, or any other surviving members of the Beatles, wouldn't accept that the Banshees have in fact finished what the Beatles started. I am not convinced that the Banshees' version isn't, on some deeper metaphysical level, itself the original, even though it postdates the original, that in some admittedly voguish hauntological sense it doesn't vanquish the original, like a ghost pulling rank over its body as it rots in the grave, rendering normal chronology irrelevant, normal publishing rights null and void, and that the Beatles shouldn't therefore pay all royalties earned since the Banshees covered that song to the Banshees. I am not convinced that the first version you hear of any song isn't in fact the original in the aforementioned hauntological sense, that Tainted Love isn't the work of Soft Cell, that My Way isn't the work of Sid Vicious, that Pop Goes the Weasel isn't the work of Mark Ramsden. I don't like red. I don't like yellow. I don't like blue. I don't like any combination of these colours in any proportion. I don't like liquids. I don't like solids. I don't like gases or any of the intermediate states that matter can assume. I don't like stars. I don't like planets. I don't like moons. I don't like asteroids, meteors, comets, or the gravity that acts upon the heavenly bodies. I don't like light. I don't like mass. I don't like weight or surface area. I don't like capacity. I don't like volume. I don't like density or magnitude. I don't like temperature. I don't like humidity. I don't like viscosity, elasticity, ductility or torque. I don't like pressure. I don't like texture or friction. I don't like magnetism. I don't like nuclearity or dispersal. I don't like the two main ways by which a solid may be made to dissolve in a liquid more efficiently, i.e. through heat or agitation, or the one single way by which a solid may convert directly into a gas without intermediate liquefaction, i.e. sublimation. I don't like any of the elements in the periodic table, or any compounds thereof. I don't like vacuums. I don't like plenums. I don't do vacuums. I don't do plenums. I don't like circles. I don't like squares. I don't like triangles or hexagons. I don't like any of the polygons up to and including those with an infinite amount of sides. I don't like lines, straight or curved. I don't like points, coordinates, positions in space. I don't like any of the three dimensions, either individually or in their more commonly encountered triumvirate form. I don't like time, the so-called fourth dimension, or any of the notional dimensions mooted by theoretical physics. I don't like Newton's laws, or the laws of his contemporaries, or the laws of Newton's successors, or the laws of those lawmakers still to come. I don't like numbers, decimal or whole. I don't like numbers or any of the ways in which they can be combined to produce yet more numbers, addition, division, multiplication, etc. I don't do maths. I don't do anal. I don't do ass to mouth. I don't know what some people are on. I don't know what some people are about. I don't know what some people are on about. I don't hold it against Bobby Moore. I don't hold it against Bobby Moore for selling his World Cup winner's medal. I don't hold it against Thurston Moore. I don't hold it against Thurston Moore for his more recent experimental stuff. I don't hold it against Leeds. I don't hold it against Leeds for letting Cantona go. I don't hold it against Spurs. I don't hold it against Spurs for letting Bale go. I don't hold it against Man U. I don't hold it against Man U for letting Ronaldo go. I don't hold it against those who say drum and bass. Against those who say drum and bass when really you should say jungle. I don't hold it against the great and good. I don't hold it against the great and good for shrouding their personal philosophies in gas, couching their world views as art rather than spelling it out for the common man. I don't begrudge them their various abstractions and metaphors. I don't hold it against Bob Dylan for telling me to look to the wind for answers, or James Brown for taking it to the bridge without telling me quite what was being taken there. I don't hold it against the blithe poet Billy Idol. I don't hold it against the blithe poet Billy Idol for positing the notion of eyes without a face, or Gene Chandler for his wistful recollections of the past. "There was a time," sang Gene Chandler, "when I used to dance. There was a time," sang Gene Chandler, "when I used to prance. There was a time when I used to dance. There was a time when I used to prance." I don't hold it against David Byrne. I don't hold it against David Byrne for his ludic pronouncements. "There is water at the bottom of the ocean," sings David Byrne. "There is water at the bottom of the ocean." "We're walking in the air," sings Aled Jones. "We're walking in the air." "Fuck the pain away," sings Peaches. "Fuck the pain away." "Fuck the pain away," sings Peaches. "Fuck the pain away." "Fuck the pain away," she sings. "And we fucked it away, the pain. And the pain went. And there was a new star in the east. And a new Jerusalem was at hand."